Hour 3, RBKD here on the Horn. Get to hornfm.com. You can get the Horn app and get yourself all set up for high school football. We have a lot of high school football Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Westlake and Vandergrift. Excited about that.
That's sexy.
Yeah, it is. LBJ, Lake Travis. Hope everyone can move through. I was hoping Lake Travis and Bowie, but Bowie didn't get through. Bowie had a good team this year, though, man.
They did.
I was impressed with Bowie.
Coach Abels does a good job. But
no, you need to start. You need to start crapping out pups, man.
Hopefully, that's a little bit more. I don't know, eloquent than that.
No
description of it.
No, I mean crapping out pups.
But
I mean, like a litter.
Hey, man, I'm working on it.
I'm thinking as a Texas fan.
I'm working.
I'm not even thinking as Bowie.
But I'm zoned to Bowie, I think. I'm pretty sure I am. I mean, I'm right.
You're like a mile away. You better be.
Sometimes it's weird, though. I mean, Trail tell you the way they kind of set up the districts and stuff. It's weird and funky. That's why people move sometimes just to get into good school districts.
I mean, you have people in the same district or teams in the same district that are in different levels of the playoff, like Westlake and Lake Travis. One's in the Division II, one's in Division I.
True.
It is all over the place.
Yeah, no, it's all over the place the way they do it.
It can change up a little way.
But Craig did say this is the best year. If you look at all levels combined of classifications in high school football, and you look at how far they've gone in the playoffs, how far they've advanced, this is probably the best year that Central Texas, this area, has ever had. Because you just have a lot of teams that advanced and went far at all levels, level and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Craig would be able to tell you better than
and he's
or
right.
Snoop would.
Or Snoop. One of those guys would. Snoop will have a show on Saturday. Get y'all set up. I believe that's 1 o'clock. Shout out to Isaiah Collier, who filled in for the first couple hours.
Yeah.
Zay, you can always hear him. Yeah, good job. Really knows his stuff. 6 to 10. The Right Call coming up at 8 o'clock. Longhorn Weekly will be coming up at 7. So
yeah. Chris Beard live, I've heard.
Live, man.
Live from Pluckers.
Hawaiian shirt guys.
I wonder how
there.
Chris Beard Longhorn Weekly is more, because Sark does his during the day, so it's weird. You can't really have
a day before.
It can't have a big crowd. I think it's like around lunchtime or like right after lunchtime or something like that. But Chris Beard at night on campus with the students he's been trying to connect with and throwing parties for.
He's
and
also
stuff.
Giving them free meals.
You're giving free meals.
Every time he's been there, Ogden's sitting there and he goes,
really?
If you've got a free meal, he goes, we won't take care of all your liquor, which I just love how Beard
I didn't know that.
He's like, but. It's like if you get a meal here and you're a student, it's taken care of.
Oh, dude, free food for students. Everybody knows that's good as currency. I mean,
that's
been
just, there at 3.
I mean, that's how you can get a hot chick to go out with you. She will go out for the free meal and may not have any interest in you at all.
I've like, been there.
Like I will go out with this guy because he will take me to Papa Do's. It's
I've
like,
been
all
there.
Right, let's go. I'm a dark horse candidate. I might sneak it in.
Cody Willis ordered an O'Doul's. At Carrabba's, now the new Pluckers.
Wow.
Up 290.
Oh, yeah, I remember
and
that.
She liked me, but I wasn't getting anything.
But she knew. But she was like,
a free meal.
She was like, I like you enough to share a meal with you.
Yeah.
I don't like it enough to bang with you.
And I liked her enough to have her share a meal with me.
And no.
And look at her for an hour and have the thought of banging her. With an O'Doul's, which I thought was alcoholic.
Oh, no, I love a challenge. I'm cool with that. I'm like, no, I know I got no shot, but you know what? Who knows? I know.
This was a challenge. This is like Texas playing Alabama next year. It's a challenge that I knew couldn't be met.
Upsets happen every Saturday and Sunday.
They do.
The Texans beat the team that had the best record in AFC.
They won't
a couple
next
weeks
year,
ago.
September 10th.
No, they won't. They
at
might
least
get,
not on that game.
They might get beat by UTSA. They're not going to beat the dying piece, but they may get beat by the 7 or the 8 too. Anyway.
Cody was a dime piece.
Here you go.
She was a smoke show.
Smoke show? Good for
her. Yeah, no, good stuff. So shout out to Zay. Zay, 8 o'clock, the Right Call. If you want any basketball stuff, that's high school, certainly college, and pro, NBA, he's going to have you covered.
Yeah,
and we got one of the GOATs, probably my best friend out there, Trey Elling. I always have fun with him on the air. He is a man. At Courtesy Wave. Does a great show from 12 to 3 right before us, a leadoff show for us at least, and that would be Shirts and Skins. But also, Books on Pod,
Books
man.
On Pod is awesome.
Rod, I hear you talk about this all the time.
I love Books on Pod.
I don't know if Rod gives you the love.
I do give him the love.
Outside of the show, but
he
Rod's
does.
Always coming in talking. He's like, Trey's so good at interviews.
If I don't catch the interview on actually Shirts and Skins, I'll go back and catch it. I've learned so many random facts. I started lifting weights again because of a guy you had on about resistance training.
Sal DiStefano,
him?
Of the Mind Pump.
He really hit me with when he was talking about how your body. As a man, you produce more testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're actually doing resistance training, and one of the ways to help your low T is just lift.
What, was that a shot at me?
No, no, everybody. No, I didn't mean that.
No, I probably am a little tea. I don't know.
I swear I did not mean that.
No,
I know
I'm more inside my own head.
I did not mean that. No, no, I meant that for all of us, like low T, like you get old, 40,
right.
Low T. No,
that was a one ball shot. You're like
I'm a low T guy.
We hear that.
I'm probably going to be suffering from it too. I'm an old man now. I think it's an older generation thing.
So you started lifting because of that?
Yeah.
It's older and inactivity and crappy diet. There's not getting good sleep can play into it as well. But yeah,
you checked off all my boxes. Yeah.
Well, no, because I was running a lot, but I wasn't lifting as much. And basically, that's why I was like, no, I got to do both. I got to start doing both.
The resistance training is more important than I think any other potential movement that you can do to try and get yourself in shape.
Yeah.
Because you're not just strengthening your muscles, you're strengthening the tendons, the ligaments, the bones as well.
No, it was a fascinating, I mean, you do a ton of those, but that was one of the best that you've done in a while.
They're all different, they're all good. Yeah, He's got one right now that I'm going to go home to. I've got a dinner after this, and I have it in my mental schedule. And when I get home, I've got some stuff, as Trey will tell you, I'm always doing other stuff while I'm doing nothing.
You're a multitasker.
I am. So when people are like, what are you doing? Nothing. And Trey always laughs, he'll come over, he's like, you're cooking, you've got video games, you've got something you're typing on your computer, you've got TV, like, you're doing something. It's nothing. But I'm going to be listening to the most recent one, because Bob Saget and Trey, and Bob Saget's one of those guys we talked about at Full House, and the videos was American Home Videos. Like, he could not have been a bigger rube, but you find out, and I remember finding out as he was doing stand-up probably sometime in the 90s, maybe early 2000s.
HBO special I saw him
and on. I thought, this is one of the dirtiest guys out there.
Yeah, he's a dirty mofo, man. He's real dirty. I mean, make you cringeworthy sometimes. Yeah. Like, oh. And I think it's because our perception of Bob Saget from back in the day, from Full House.
Kimmy Gibbler.
And from, American.
He was the uncle to Kimmy.
Yeah, so we had this innocence, this vision of innocence with him, and it's not, it can be far from the truth. I mean, it can be more far from the truth.
I asked him about that, and I also asked him about one of the most legendary cameos in a comedy of all time, which happened in Half-Baked.
Yeah, I heard that.
And the legendary used to, you know what, for Coke line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Kevin doesn't know it because Kevin doesn't know movies, but Rod knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I haven't seen Half-Baked.
I heard
it. Is Half-Baked really good?
Well, yeah, it's kind of, for the purpose, and the purpose is to
do I need to be
appeal.
Half-Baked to enjoy
it's
Half-Baked?
It's an appeal to pot smokers.
Stoner comedy, yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's all. Yeah.
I enjoy some good stoner comedy.
Exactly.
It is what it is.
High back in the day, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's silly, but it is what it is.
Friday was like that.
Friday is
had
a lot
element
of,
Friday
has a lot of stoner comedy in it. I totally agree with that. Yeah, it's not totally stoner comedy, but it's a lot of it in there. Yeah. Anyway, check out Books on Pod. Trey does a great job, whoever he's having. But Bob Saget is the latest one.
Bob Saget.
And yeah. Oh, no, I love that people, did you ever ask him about people saying Bob Saget instead of a cuss word? Like, people started doing it for a while.
What cuss word?
Like, instead of using a cuss word, people would say, Bob Saget.
Oh, I thought you meant they changed it with a derogatory term.
No. Like, it was almost a play on the perception of Bob. Like, Bob Saget.
He brought that up. Bob Saget brought up the fact that his name does rhyme with that one in particular.
Of course he did.
Random point of the conversation. Yeah, you should check it out. And Bob's going to be here in town performing stand-up tomorrow night at the Paramount. Go to austintheater.org for those tickets. Hey, guys. Speaking of low T, you think Gary Patterson has high or low T?
It's Gary Fatterson.
Okay. See?
I just turned it around there.
Listen, he may be working here soon, so let's ease up on the Gary Patterson shots.
He knows he's got man boobs and sweats like a pig in 120-degree weather.
But once he works for the University of Texas,
I'm all for
we'll
him.
Ease up on it, all right?
Yeah, we will.
Diabetes knees.
Wow.
I didn't bring that in there.
Y'all been saving these stockpiling these Gary Patterson jokes?
Gary Bear's been asking for it for a long time now with all the negative recruiting he's been doing to Texas and everybody else.
Yeah, I guess so, but I want him.
I do too.
In what capacity, I think that's
up for debate. Do you want him as DC or do you want him as an analyst?
See, this is the thing. I don't know where he is mentally. I don't know if he can humble himself to just say, hey, I'll be a consultant. And basically meaning whatever you got and whatever capacity you guys need me, I'm here. Or if he wants to be, hey, I'm Gary Patterson. If he's a name dropping still where, hey, I need a title and I need to be compensated, the compensation is no problem. Sure, it's fine. But the title, I think, and then the subsequent role that he plays with that title is going to be important. Because then you're undermining PK. Do you want to? You want to undermine PK. Maybe you're going to have the Mac Brown plan what he had with Greg Robinson with Manny Diaz, where you have him
Gary Patterson
in the wings.
DC. That's what I'm saying. At his age in 2 years or a year.
Then you need to make sure that you appropriately delegate roles and responsibilities, and let him know you're going to be playing this role, GP, and you're not a co DC. You are not a pass game coordinator. You are a consultant.
Agreed. Let me also throw this out there to y'all two, big Texas guys, as am I, that this is not going to solve that much. Like, he can help out a little bit, but we've also always talked about there's too many cooks. It's funny how when there's too many people here, it's too many cooks in the kitchen, and when there's not enough, we don't have enough brain power. And yet you'll see it at other schools where they have got a lot of cooks in the kitchen or analysts like Georgia and Alabama. Yeah. And all that seems to work out. We got Muschamp as an analyst. I don't hear about Muschamp being in too many cooks in the kitchen.
Agreed. I'm with it. I don't disagree with that.
Trey, would you want him as an analyst?
No, because I think that he lost that passion over these last couple of years, and perhaps the next job can help re-inspire him to focus once again on football. I don't necessarily think that is going to be here at Texas, not with the current issues that they're dealing with on this staff that need to be fixed without an ego the size of Gary Patterson's coming in and adding that extra cook into the kitchen, which I think that term has certainly become cliched over time, but it is still applicable, and I think it would be applicable here in Austin.
The ego is the I agree with you, Trey. That's the thing you have to, when you bring him in.
You check that.
Well, either you check it or you gauge it, because I don't know if you're going to be able to check Gary Patterson's ego. Make sure, like, hey, is this Gary Patterson who wants to come over and take over this defense?
Yeah.
Or he doesn't come over and actually help out and be a resource for Pete Kwiatkowski.
If he comes in with a cowboy hat and he looks like he's about to do a live show.
That may be good.
It probably means that it's take a step back, Gary.
Asking too many questions about the Iron Cactus.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so, Trey, you're saying you don't want Gary Patterson because you do believe he wants to come down here and eat barbecue and play live music venues.
Now, he could do that and also be a good analyst.
That's my thing. I may want that Gary Patterson, and I want him also to come in and watch film for three, 4 hours a day on our defense and talk about the structural integrity of it, as opposed to Gary Patterson, who is now fully laser-focused on Texas. And then, like you pointed out, the ego comes up where, hey, man, I'm Gary Patterson.
Where he starts sniffing in 2 years, I could have this head job.
Or we definitely could have they sniffing around the D.C. job. I mean, you're bringing him in right now. If you don't make him a consultant or, you know, an advisor or whatever, he's going to be a co-DC, or you don't see him being a position coach, right?
No, definitely not that. I think it would be analyst more than anything else. Kevin, okay. I know you did a podcast with Paul Wadlington a little bit earlier. We spoke with him on Shirts and Skins, and I thought he brought up a great point that there's always the possibility that Gary Patterson comes in as being a little bit too toxic for a program the size of Texas versus him finding a head coaching gig someplace else in a year or two when he realizes that he really does miss being on the sidelines.
And that sideline would be a head coach.
Right.
See?
I think it's fair.
That is fair. I told that. That's the fear.
I only do it if you really vet him and really get a good temperature check like we talked about, and you realize that, hey, this guy wants to be retired. He wants to have a toe in there and wants to help out, and he's got a real red-ass, butthurt feeling towards TCU. This is where you could turn all that around and what Gary did against Texas with that feeling against Texas. I mean, Gary is upset with TCU. We know that. And if we can all of a sudden draw on that, not against us but for us, on someone who's got butthurt, red-ass feelings to help us out with what we're just trying to do, which is win games— You read that, but, man, it'd have to be the right temperature check, because I think there's probably too many other people you could go out there and hire as analysts. I mean, Gary Patterson knows defense. You could also argue that it has gone by him a little bit, that we talk about how quickly this changes. The last couple of years, he was not a defensive genius.
No. His defense is one of the worst in the Big 12 this year, and I think the end of last year probably was too. I still think just having that kind of brain power in to help. Like I said, I think of it more of bringing in a resource to help PK. What I would try to get Gary Patterson to do, and I'm not saying I want him to take Terry Joseph's job as the pass game coordinator, but you need somebody that can coordinate your coverages with the front.
No doubt.
Because right now you're a discombobulated mess.
And we got lucky because Texas wouldn't even tested that much.
They weren't.
And when they were, they failed.
They still allowed teams to complete 62% of their deep balls against the secondary. But that's what I think. That means the run fits, right? And in terms of the gap responsibility, gap integrity, that also relates to the secondary and to the back end. And Texas doesn't really have that type of synchronicity. I want Gary Patterson coming in to help coordinate the back end with the front end. And I don't think you got to make him pass game coordinator to do that, but definitely as an analyst or a consultant, that would be his task. It would be my task for him coming in. Can you help us do that? Because that's where you need the most help.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right, all Big 12 team, Rod. We talked about it a little bit, and I'll get Trey's thought on it quickly. Rod and I talked about it. Derek Kerstetter being starting right tackle, I'm certainly not trying to get on him. I appreciate his time here at Texas and definitely gave up a lot, probably some pro chances by going to center last year.
Yeah.
Didn't have the right tackle year as a senior. He did as a sophomore. But aren't you shocked that he was first team anything?
Who voted on this?
It's the all Big 12 team voted on by the media, right? The coaches or the media?
The Kerstetters did. No.
Or is it just decided upon by some random person in the Big 12 offices? Because
I think it's media.
I can't believe it's voted on by the media.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so maybe name recognition is part of it. I don't see it necessarily. I'm happy for Derek.
Take that back. No, 10 head coaches. It says all Big 12 conference football teams and individuals award winners have been announced. Selections are made by the league's 10 head coaches
who
are not permitted to vote for their own player.
Okay, so this is like the
coaches. John Bianca's, I guess. Yeah. Right.
This is like the coaches poll when a 500 Auburn team somehow ends up in the top 25, where the name recognition is there. They probably realized that this guy fought really hard to get back on the field, and he just ended up getting enough pity votes that he turns out to be a first-teamer.
You like the story. The story is, which is they like the story. Well, no, if it is the John Biancos of the world, the SIDs would make sense, right? The stories, storylines, that's what they create. That's what they're about. And that makes sense. I mean, I could see that. And, Katie, you made a good point, too. There aren't a lot of stellar offensive linemen in the Big 12 this year, so that may be also why he got
it. It's a down year for everything on offense in the Big 12 and the teams except for running back.
Except
for running back. Or Jalen Warren's third team.
To your point, Spencer Sanders is your first team quarterback on the all-Big 12 team. So that, I think, is a little puzzling, too, for a lot of people out there.
I mean, what? In most of the 2000s?
Yeah, Spencer Sanders, first team,
all-Big 12. Think about the Daniel, Reesing, Bradford, McCoy, Harrell, like that span where the sixth team guy would have been a first teamer or second teamer in most other conferences.
Yeah.
That's the opposite right now.
Well, I don't know. Who would you give it to, right? I mean, I think Caleb Williams led the conference in yards per attempt. I think Spencer Rattler led in completion percentage.
And got yanked even after that.
Right? I think Daigie ended up leading in yards per game
and
passing
interceptions.
Yards and interceptions. Casey Thompson led in touchdown passes.
In second interceptions.
So, like, I don't know who you give it to.
I give it to Skylar Thompson.
You know what? You could argue that. If Spencer Sanders got it, I could make the argument for Skylar Thompson.
Because Skylar was banged up.
And he missed those two games.
And when he wasn't banged up, he still, for the most part, threw the ball well.
No, I'm with you. But to your point, though, Spencer Sanders, first team quarterback for RB 12. Texas did get some love. Bijan Robinson makes first team running back along with Breece Hall. There was some people upset about that, saying maybe Abram Smith and Deuce Vaughn could have gotten a love over Bijan Robinson.
Or Jalen Warren.
Or Jalen Warren. Yeah, I mean, just had good running backs in the Big 12 this year.
They're more productive.
And BJ missed two games.
Yeah.
So I think they went off eye test, too, and more of that.
I also think they were right.
I do, too. I mean, I think Bijan is the best running back in the conference.
Bijan's the best player in the conference.
That argument can also, yeah.
Outside of around him.
I'm trying to figure out. I think you're right.
Give me a better player in the conference,
defense
guys.
And offense. No. He's it. Yeah, X-Man, who might be also top five, who also as a freshman may be top five in that conversation. He made first team All Big 12, so as a representative of Texas as well. We talked about Derek Kerstetter making first team, and then give some props to Cameron Dicker. Had a hell of a year.
He did.
I thought he would have a down year considering all the responsibilities they put on his plate, being place kicker and punter, and then all that. You know,
he was
kickoffs.
Better punter than kicker.
He was fantastic. He got a shot to play in the league now.
And take this for what it is. Yeah. I thought he'd maybe be leaving. From what I'm hearing, and that's just what I'm hearing, sounds like he's going to be back.
Oh, good for him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, you're a kicker.
Well, you guys were saying the same thing about Michael Dixon.
Well, Michael.
The guy back there was screaming for him to go as soon as he could.
Long ball Dixon was in a different stratosphere.
I agree with
than
that.
Cameron Dicker. Can we all agree
with
that?
Yes, I agree.
And I think Cameron Dicker got a shot to play in the league, but long ball Dixon.
But he was a good punter this year.
Long ball?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Well, he's always a good punter.
No, Cameron Dicker.
Cameron Dicker was.
Yes. No, I'll get better punter than a kicker this year.
I think that right now that'd be his spot in the NFL. Maybe that's why he's coming back to have a shot at both those or whatever's better.
You know what? That's a good point that maybe now he's figured out, like, actually, maybe I need to be a punter.
Yeah.
Going forward instead of a kicker if you're going to play in the league. That's actually, I never thought about that. Good point.
Less pressure.
12 other Longhorns were honored via honorable mention. Cade Brewer, Luke Brockemeyer, Kendrick Colburn, Anthony Cook, Cameron Dicker, B.J. Foster, Byron Murphy getting a lot of love, too.
He is.
Yeah.
PFF, too.
Yep, no doubt. So that's actually a success story Longhorn fans should celebrate. Moro, Jomo, Ovia, Gofu, DeMarvion Overshown, Keelan Robinson get some special teams love there, too. So. Longhorns making the All-Big 12 team. All right, coming up, we'll get into Roger Rant of the Day. I want to talk about championship weekend. So we'll go over the SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12, ACC, although the American as well, all those championship games. And I'll give you some degenerate betting nuggets about them, and we will discuss all of that and more in Roger Rant of the Day right here on RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Bro, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to RIBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day. I want to get into the championship game, especially the Power 5 conference championship games coming up on this championship weekend. And I got some betting nuggets, if you will, to share with you folks. I do a lot of research and found a ton of different little factoids about the upcoming championship series. And maybe if you're if you're a degenerate gambler out there, and I'm not trying to disrespect you, I'm a degenerate too, just not of the gambling variety, this can help you a little bit and maybe make you some straight cash, homie. And if you want to make some straight cash, homie, go to my bookie and place your bet there. Okay. So let's start with the overall. This is a nice little nugget. Overall championship weekend. And I'll give you a nugget about the Power 5 favorites. So in the playoff era, there have been 24 Power 5 favorites of greater than 4 points. So favorites of at least 4 points in conference championship games. And they are 23-1 straight up. With Utah's loss to Oregon in 2019 as a 6.5-point favorite as the only loss. So 24 Power 5 favorites of greater than 4 points, all right, at least 4 points in conference championship games, they're 23-1 straight up. Once that number gets to more than a field goal, Vegas seems to know a little bit of something about those favorites in that situation. Once it gets, and this weekend, by the way, you got a lot of games where there are some, I guess, big numbers. If you look at from the Vegas spread, Baylor is a 5.5-point underdog to Oklahoma State. Georgia is going to be a 6.5-point favorite over Alabama. Big number. We'll get to that a little bit later on here in a second.
5.5 is too big with Oklahoma State Baylor, isn't it?
That's a big number. Quarterback for Baylor is probably the concern there. Because even the backup quarterback got hurt in the last game, so that's probably the concern. Michigan is an 11-point favorite over Iowa, but that is a 2-13. So you got
That's a lot to lay, man.
That's a big line in the championship conference games. That's what the history would tell you.
Right, for a physically tough team in what you're bringing up here.
Yeah, and they say if you include the AAC favorites of greater than 4 points in the championship conference weekend in the playoff era, that number grows to 27-1 with a Cincinnati, a double-digit favorite this week, search for a playoff first. So favorites usually win and sometimes win convincingly, especially big-time favorites in the playoff era. You're talking about conference championship games. No team outside the top six, we know this, in conference championship Saturday has ever made it to the college football playoff. So if you're outside the top six, and you're probably pretty much SOL. It's not going to happen. Notre Dame's there, and so is Oklahoma State. So Oklahoma State still got a shot, which we'll get to in a second. Let's talk about the SEC title game, though. That is that's the granddaddy. That's what everybody's paying attention to, the main event, if you will, of championship weekend. So since 2018, Georgia has faced 16 ranked opponents, and 13 of the 16 games have gone under.
Wow.
That's Georgia's style of play.
That's they just
play,
what they do.
They play defense.
And they're
they,
still kind of doing it this year.
They make you play ugly. You're going to play ugly again. You're not going to win pretty against Georgia.
Right.
It usually doesn't happen. But if anybody can do it, I guess Bama could do it. But if you're betting, the under seems like a safer bet in Georgia versus a ranked team, especially in a championship game. The last underdog to win the SEC championship game.
Hold on. Last underdog to win the SEC championship
early this week.
Game.
You said it earlier.
Alabama beating Florida in 2009.
Boom.
31-20.
I think you're right about the score, too, you sick
there
mofo.
There you go. A couple late touchdowns, including one with the guy who just always stabs you to death late.
Who was that?
Aaron Hernandez.
Wow. Yeah. How did I not get that?
A late touchdown. He was shooting people, so I'm a little off.
No, well,
would have been better if it was USC.
Let's be honest.
But I mean, it is what it is.
You don't think he ever stabbed anybody?
Oh, he probably not. I'm sure he's probably stabbed 20 people.
That's what I'm saying.
Probably 10 in Gainesville.
And had prison, if nothing else.
Exactly. Yeah, right. The prison shank. What's the difference between a shank and a shiv? Do we know this?
The handle.
Of course he would know. I had no
books
idea.
Books on pod, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Books on pod. You can learn a lot of things.
Who'd you learn that from? Aaron Hernandez. I talked to him before he died.
I knew Trey would know, but he answered it quick. I believe him. I think he's
I believe
right
him,
that.
Too. That would have been a great interview, Trey and Aaron Hernandez.
Okay.
Well, find out what's going on. He's a messed up guy, obviously.
You know what, Trey?
And Trey would have brought that out of him.
Try to get OJ. And get OJ. And see what he thinks about Lincoln Riley.
That's a...
You can get OJ. OJ's not going to reject you.
That is a great take.
You can get OJ.
Come on. OJ is an attention whore, but I also know he's probably reluctant to get interviewed by random people because he doesn't know what's coming.
That is true.
Especially from you.
Nah, just like Nicole didn't.
Oh, okay.
All right.
See? Right. You opened the door.
Yeah, too soon. Yeah.
No, but it's KD's fault. You opened the door with like Norm MacDonald on SNL here. Oh, random OJ shots.
And of all people, Ronald forgot Ronald. There were two people there.
Oh, wow.
He was a byproduct.
Come on. All right. Back to the...
Rod's rant never thought it was going
back
there.
Back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Yes.
This is just the second time in the last 165 games that Alabama has been an underdog.
That's crazy.
Second time in the last 165 games that Bama has been a dog.
God, that shows you the dominance.
And they won the last time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just so you know, Nick Saban as a dog, he's pretty good all the time. He's the coach. He's damn good as a dog, too. Georgia, how about this one? Georgia has led 10 of 12 games this year by at least 14 points at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll know a lot by halftime.
I made my money off Dave Paul this year off Georgia, his Georgia Bulldogs. Because he was too close and he didn't want to believe.
You're right. He still hadn't trusted
him. And kept on going, they're going to cover.
He was almost right about Auburn beating Bama, though.
He was, yeah.
I'll give him props on that.
He was close on that. We thought it was high.
Yeah. Well, he might have been, but he still was right.
Could have been both.
How about this one? All right, let's get to some more SEC factoids and I'll get to the rest of the games. From the point that Georgia took its biggest lead of the game in the last three meetings with Bama, they were outscored a combined 64-3 the rest of the way in those games. Talk about adjustments.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Kirby Smart and Nick Saban know each other better than any of Nick Saban's former assistants would know him or vice versa because they were together longer than he was with any other assistant.
Even more than Jimbo, he was with them longer, but also it was sooner. So
everything changes so much. Yeah.
You can coach with someone in from 2004 to 2011.
It means nothing.
You're in 2021. That's like writing code with someone 10 years ago.
That's a great point.
I know what he's up to. No, you don't.
This
thing has changed so much in two months.
You're right. That was, 5 years ago he was with Saban, something like that?
This is not your typical industry
where there are
patterns. Everything changes within 2 years.
That's a great point, which is why he almost beat Nick Saban even before Jimbo Fisher did it in that championship game. But Nick Saban pulled out the one card that Kirby Smart couldn't prepare for.
Tua.
He didn't know the rock. I mean, he was a freshman. He didn't know him. He's like, I don't know about this kid. Boom. And that's all he needed.
Didn't know about this skinny kid, Devonta Smith. Either.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Was Devonta Smith coming out party. How about this one? In last year's loss, Stetson Bennett. This is going to be key, all right, because Nick Saban might just start blitzing Stetson Bennett. We've said it. If you're going to beat Georgia, the one weakness they may have, and I don't even know if he's a weakness, but the one thing that I would attack would be Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
If there's anything that's going to hold them back, it's going to be Stetson Bennett. He is the thermal exhaust port of Georgia. They are, they are essentially a Death Star, but they got a weakness, and I think it's Stetson Bennett.
They do. Let me just tell you this, though. I can tell you've been making fun of me and kind of laughing with me a little bit.
He can run.
No, I know he can run. No, I get it. And he may be able to run, you know, better than most. But how about this? He was 18 of 40 last year with 3 interceptions. Nick Saban's defense blitzed him 14 times in that loss with Georgia, more than Bennett had been blitzed in any game. I know there's a very different defense, but the game plan might still apply. He might come after Stetson Bennett. Alabama, you talked about their offensive line being a disaster.
On the right tackle and the center.
They're averaging just 3.5 yards per carry.
Dude, it's crazy. And Brian Robinson's injured.
And they're 10th in the SEC in rushing.
Which is blows your mind.
For a Bama team, that's crazy.
17 plays against Auburn that were negative or 0 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see that, man.
You don't see that. Okay, real quick. I know we're up against Auburn.
No, this is good.
Here.
Good. Keep it going.
Let's go to the Pac-12. How about this? Since 2017... 2 of 4 Pac-12 championship games resulted in an underdog winning outright. In the other 4 Power 5 leagues, none of the 16 games resulted in an underdog winning outright. So, funky things happen in Pac-12 country all the time. Let's go to Big 12 really quickly. And remember, we talked about this Baylor-Oklahoma State game when it happened, right, during the regular season. Baylor was +3 in turnover margin versus Oklahoma State. And lost that game.
I believe Spencer had 2 in that game.
Yeah, and Baylor didn't commit a turnover.
Right.
And forced 3 turnovers and lost by double digits.
Which told me that Oklahoma State's a better version of what both of them are trying to do.
Yeah, they're stylistically.
If you're minus 3 and you still win, they won it by 10, I believe.
Yeah.
This is all off the top
double
of my head.
Yeah, okay, I think you're right about that. So how about this? There have been 88 FBS games this year where a team didn't commit a turnover and forced at least 3. +3 in turnover margin, but didn't commit one themselves. Those teams went 81-7.
Wow.
End up losing by double digits. So I'm with you. I think Oklahoma State's a better team than they were then.
They are. They've gotten better. Yeah.
And I think Baylor's better, but I don't think Baylor has gotten as good as Oklahoma State is. They're the real deal. Let's go Big Ten just really quickly. A little factoid here for the Big Ten. Favorites not named Ohio State are 0-5 against the spread in Big Ten title games.
Okay.
But I'll tell you,
probably a couple Ohio State's been here a lot. Yeah. In there.
Iowa has been a double-digit dog since 2017 when it lost 38-14 to Wisconsin. However, it hasn't been a double-digit dog, I should say. I apologize. It hasn't been a double-digit dog since 2017 when it lost to Wisconsin. However, the Hawkeyes have won 2 of the last 4 games when they were a double-digit dog.
Yeah, they're good dogs. They always have been.
And they force a lot of turnovers.
Yep.
They're 3rd in the country in forcing turnovers. Opposing teams have committed 28 versus Iowa, and they've scored 28%, almost 30% of their points directly off turnovers. If Michigan's turning the football over, that's how you can end up seeing some wild, crazy upset there. Just throwing that out there, too. All right, I think that's it.
That's good stuff, man. I love it. I love when you dig deep like that. And we never know with rivalry week, and then you get to the Big 12 or the championship games the next week. You don't know how it plays. It actually is good as a bettor to hear some of that stuff and to get real serious trends.
Yeah, that's all I'm about.
Either to go with or to go against.
Exactly.
So you wouldn't put any money on Michigan 11 against Iowa, would you? 11?
No, I don't know if 11 is a big number. In Big Ten country, that's a big number.
It's
a big number.
It's a big number.
It's not how they want to play.
I'm taking the Hawkeyes.
Yeah,
it's all right. Big number. Speaking of Michigan, a high school team in Michigan got really close with a former Michigan star. It's classic right here. It's a soul type Thursday here on RBKD. Big shout out to Isaiah Collier. Check him out at 8 o'clock with the right call. Good basketball stuff. Even if you don't like basketball, you probably like the show. But certainly if you're into the Horns or the NBA, got to check that out. He produced the first half of the show. We got Trey Elling, the legend, who's back there producing this one. I'm not even sure if Trey knew it was a soul Thursday, but... Trey, did you know that, or did you just kind of...
He did, yeah. He asked me in the break. I'll just say full disclosure.
Okay.
But he's done a good job.
Rod gave me a pass to play anything I want to. I'm like, I don't get to play enough funk and soul on the 12-3 show, so I'm going to take you up on that one.
Yeah. Man. We said both Zay and Trey can do whatever they want.
Bill Withers, though.
Because we're those guys.
Well
Bill
done,
Withers.
Sir.
Didn't Bill Withers have some other stuff going on that wasn't good?
You could be right about that. I don't know enough about Bill Withers off the away from the stage.
Trey,
No, I think that was OJ that you're thinking of there.
OJ?
Stop it. Just
come
stop
on.
It.
Oh, I'm channeling
OJ
my
jokes?
Inner Norm at this
just
point.
Stop it. I don't mean that.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get to our off the record. Actually, off the record has a sponsor.
Find Old Stat's award-winning Texas beers throughout Austin and Central Texas with their beer map. Go to altstatbeer.com and click on the Find Our Beer banner. There's sure to be a location in your area. It's Old Stat Beer. No impurities. No regrets.
All right. This is off the record about the GOAT. Oh, one of the GOATs.
Yeah.
It can't be too many, but he's one of them.
I mean,
Tom Brady's the GOAT.
He's not the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Really? Well, I guess you're right. You can say that.
But he's the GOAT.
Yeah, you can be. I agree.
Is that fair?
You can distinguish between the two. I agree with that. Yeah. No, he is definitely the GOAT.
But he is the GOAT.
Yeah, no
doubt. You can't look at that resume and say he's not the GOAT.
Even I think Joe Montana recently said he was the GOAT. So Joe Montana was the only other guy people would say was the GOAT.
Yeah.
And when he is saying Tom Brady is the GOAT, then he's the GOAT.
And the one you can differentiate is, so I would probably tell you Montana is, and this is, I am biased on this, but he's better than Rodgers, or better than Rodgers, better than Brady in my eyes, what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Although Brady's got a better resume and is the GOAT. Aaron Rodgers is probably, when he's playing at his best, the best quarterback I've ever seen.
I can agree with that. Yeah.
And he's nowhere near the GOAT.
That's an artistic style.
Yeah.
In which Aaron Rodgers plays.
It's almost
the
like
game.
Music.
It is. No,
you
he's
can't say someone's wrong if they say that's the best I've seen, as long as it's close enough.
No, I'm with you on Aaron Rodgers though. He makes some throws. He makes some plays that I rewind like four or five times because I don't think I've ever seen anybody make those types of throws,
mm-hmm.
those platform throws that he makes. He's unbelievable. But anyway, Tom Brady. So how about this? Members of the Notre Dame prep freshman basketball team.
This is high school. There's a lot of Notre Dame high schools out there.
Yes, I just recently figured this out,
there's
too.
Tons.
Yeah, because in keeping up recruiting, you realize that there are Notre Dame preps all over the damn place.
All over the place, yeah. Right.
But yeah, so it's this one's in Michigan, all right? So it's Notre Dame prep freshman basketball team in Michigan, and they basically they had a FaceTime with Tom Brady. And members of the Tampa Bay Bucks locker room.
Totally accidental.
That apparently, yeah, so I don't actually know how they end up doing this because I guess I'm not as technologically advanced as most. So in the insane scenario began when Vinny Tartaglia?
Tartaglia.
I hope I got it right. No disrespect intended. He began
Vinny.
A group text for the members of the boys' freshman basketball team for some of the upcoming practices and stuff they got going on, right? And this is according to Click on Detroit. However, Tartaglia incorrectly put in one digit for one of his teammates. The number ended up belonging to Buccaneers cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting.
How crazy is that?
Who was originally from Michigan.
So one number's wrong, and it goes to not some jabroni.
No rando
like us.
It goes to Sean Murphy Bunting.
Not like you. It actually would have been you. It goes to an NFL defensive back.
Well, I'm not as good as Sean Murphy Bunting.
You were in the league, though.
I've just been a jabroni.
Guess what?
You got the starting cornerback for the defending Super Bowl champion.
If I'm a freshman at high school, and we happen to even get a jabroni who's playing in the league on the freshman team. That's pretty cool, man.
No, it is really cool. So apparently, and this is, I know Sean Murphy Bunting's a cool dude.
Yeah, he was cool about
He texted
it.
Back, did you mean to add me to the group? So he responded.
Yeah.
Which is really, and the guy replies, this is Sean. Do you know who I am? Of course, they think it's their teammate messing with them. They thought it was like, oh, it must be a joke.
Well, yeah, because the guy said, I'm actually with the Buccaneers.
Exactly.
So, yeah, sure you are.
And so, yeah, they thought it was a joke. And after some back and forth, they figure out, this is actually the Sean Murphy Bunting. Yeah. They do a little research.
Well, he took a picture.
He sent a selfie from the Bucks locker room, and then apparently it was on. And he got it. And even with the selfie from Sean Murphy Bunting, the boys still thought it might be a prank, that they were being catfished. You can go pull a photo and just put it up there. So apparently, in order to convince the freshman basketball team that he was telling the truth, Sean Murphy Bunting ended up FaceTiming from the locker room, from the Bucks locker room, to convince them that he was the real deal. And in doing so, the boys saw Leonard Fournette. They saw Mike Evans. They saw Rob Gronkowski, Richard Sherman.
Apparently, Fournette was really cool because they FaceTimed and Fournette was on for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then Tom Brady's face popped up. The GOAT popped up too. And
they kept on asking about Brady.
Well, of course. They can't be upset about that. It's like, come on, man. We got access to the Bucks locker room.
Everybody wants to see Antonio Brown.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you want to see the GOAT.
No, because Brown will probably give you something funny.
I want the GOAT.
Now, he was being suspended probably at the time.
Exactly.
We can get into that story later.
I want the GOAT. Everybody wants the GOAT.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You want the GOAT, and then you want the Gronk.
You're 14 years old. Exactly.
The GOAT, then the Gronk,
that
man. The GOAT and the Gronk in that order. But that is a really freaking cool story. Now, people are going to be trying to dial their own digits all the time and try to get random football players on. And what were they?
Well, here's the problem. Murphy Bunning's got to change his number. Because if you don't think that those high school kids are going to tell other people what that number is, that one number off, you're crazy.
Yeah, does it tell you what the number you dialed so you'll know exactly what it was?
Yeah, he knows. He put in one wrong number, and he's got that documented.
Yeah, you got to change the number now, buddy.
Yeah. And Sean, you got
to
change
it. That's a pain in the butt. Have to change your number. Honestly, you need to tell those kids because it's actually more of a pain to change your number considering everybody's already got that number and you've probably had that number forever because I've had my number for probably 15 years now. Like the same number.
I changed mine eventually.
So I hadn't changed it. A lot of people don't want to. If I was in my...
You know what though? My CVS or Walgreens number is still that. And so I got to type in my old phone number.
Just to get the discount or whatever it is.
If I'm not thinking straight, it's one of those I'm like, what's my old number?
I think it's easier to tell the kids, hey, kids, would y'all be cool enough to just not give out my number? All right. I will send you some autographed stuff. I'll be really cool with you. They are kids.
It's going to get out.
All right.
I agree. Nine out of the 10 may say, you're down. I'm down with
that. But one of those kids is going to be an a-hole and do it because they're kids.
Because they're kids.
They're kids.
That's what kids do.
That's what they do.
Pretty cool story, though. Give the Bucks a little bit of credit on that. Hey, we got Cowboys Saints tonight. We'll get into that game coming up next.